We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Marks and Reese, we are back as the Phillies will not play until hopefully on Monday. Also, two pitchers with the Cardinals today testing positive, so their game has been postponed with the Brewers. So six MLB teams will not be playing because of COVID reasons. And joining us right now to discuss, Phillies reporter for MLB.com and the author of Doc, The Life of Roy Halladay, is Todd Zielecki. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, Zoe?
What's happening?
Well, I mean, you know, it'd be nice to talk baseball, Phillies baseball with you, but unfortunately this week that's not happening. I mean, so what's the latest? Are the Phillies going to get back on the field on Monday, and what needs to happen for that to happen?
Yeah, my feeling is they will get back on the field Monday, you know, especially if the next couple days they're continuing to get tested every day. They drove back to the ballpark again today. They're given these saliva tests, and, you know, if no new positives today, if they get no new positives tomorrow, and it stays that way where it's just the coach and the two clubhouse attendants, I've got to think that they'll play Monday. But this is just, from a competitive point of view for the Phillies, I mean, you have pitchers like Jake Arrieta and Zach Eflin that haven't pitched yet, you know, and they're trying to get off a mound and throw, and guys are trying to stay sharp hitting-wise, you know. So then you go out Monday and you have to face the Yankees. It's not exactly going to be easy for them.
Yeah. So they aren't permitted, Todd, or is this just a team thing where how are they supposed to stay sharp during this time to get prepared to possibly play next Monday?
Yeah, so they were at the ballpark on Wednesday. They had a workout there where they thought they were going to be back on Thursday and then again today. But because the coach and the clubhouse attendant tested positive, you know, they shut everything down at the ballpark just because, you know, this incubation period, you know, they were worried about, you know, if there's a couple players, other players that are positive that haven't popped up yet, you have a workout Thursday, next thing you know, five more players test positive over the weekend, and now you're kind of where the Marlins are. So my understanding is that, you know, guys are kind of on their own. You know, there's a lot of baseball facilities in the area that guys can go to. They could go to a park and throw off a high school mound, mm-hmm. You know, other fields in the area that they can try to stay as sharp as humanly possible. But there really is no substitute, you know, especially from a hitter's point of view, to getting in the cage and getting some work in that way. I wrote a story last week about how the Phillies have these high-tech pitching machines where you can dial in a certain pitcher, say Max Scherzer, right? You throw, you know, figure out what pitches he throws. You can type in his spin rates on all of his pitches, and you can just kind of work against that, you know. So in a way, you can go, okay, we're facing Gerrit Cole on Monday. Let's type in the numbers. Let's type in the pitches that he throws, and I can kind of like face an artificial Gerrit Cole. Well, you know, certainly they're not getting that if you're, you know, on a generic field facing live BP. It's going to be a lot different.
Todd, what is the protocol supposed to be, right? And what I believe, based on what I'm reading, is it's kind of a case-by-case basis, which I don't know if that's a good thing. But so yeah, we know what happened with the Marlins. Now today, two pitchers on the Cardinals test positive. They postponed that game with the Brewers, but it seems like they're trying to do a doubleheader tomorrow and then play again on Sunday. I mean, so what happens? Is there a certain number of guys that need to test positive for them to become really concerned, or is it just kind of they're trying to figure it out as they go?
I think there's a lot of trying to figure out as they go, and you know, I get that the league is being and criticized, you know, or you know, there's like a lot of confusion going on about it, but I do think it is because this has never been done before, so they are trying to figure out as they go. And I think the reason why the Phillies are in such a bad spot, let me put it this way. I think if the Marlins had left town on Sunday and been fine, and the coach and the two clubhouse attendants had tested positive, I think they would be playing these games. But because there's such a huge number with the Marlins, there's just this concern of, okay, you know, the last thing we want to do is send a team that potentially could have an outbreak, i.e. the Phillies, have them play the Yankees. Now the Yankees are infected. Mm-hmm. You know, they play that series. They might go into another team, infects, and then it just kind of continues. So that's kind of been the Phillies' issue is, they happen to play the Marlins, you know. So, like, the Cardinals-Brewers situation might be a little bit different because there's not a known outbreak with the team that the Cardinals just played.
Yeah, I look at this situation, Todd, as it pertains to the Phillies and the Marlins and how this thing has really played out with the Marlins compared to what's happening with the Phillies from a positive test standpoint. Now, we know someone could still turn up positive tomorrow or Sunday based on the consecutive tests, but as of right now, no player has tested positive for the Phillies compared to what's happened with the Marlins. I can't help but believe that that team had to have been exercising reckless behavior for you to have that type of spread that quickly and to continually have positive tests come up, right? I mean, like, right. What the hell have the Marlins been doing all weekend?
I agree. And, you know, there's been some reporting this week that there is now going to be like a COVID enforcement officer almost, like a hall monitor in a sense for every team. They're going to have tier one status. So, like, everybody on the team has a different status. So, like, the Phillies' PR staff, they're tier two. Mm-hmm. So they can only be in certain areas. Tier one is like players, coaches, et cetera. So that means this tier one guy is going to be able to kind of see what teams are doing, and he's going to be able to report back, and he's going to be in at the hotel. And if he sees five or six players sitting down at a table, having a cocktail after hours, after a game's over, or players going into, you know, hanging out with each other, playing video games mm-hmm. in their rooms together. In theory, he could see that and report that. But yeah, it leads me to believe that, you know, the Marlins weren't doing everything that they should have been doing for all these tests to come up. I mean, that's such a huge number. And, you know, guys are wearing masks. From the Phillies' point of view, guys are wearing masks. I can't say everybody is wearing it 100% of the time, but they have been pretty vocal about how diligent they've been in following these protocols. Because I know a lot of these guys, they really do want to play.
Yeah.
And you have Harper's wife's pregnant, and Zach Wheeler's wife just had a baby. You know, mm-hmm. Didi Gregorius has a chronic kidney condition. So there are also players, they're like, you know, even if you're young and single and you don't have a care in the world, like, you have other teammates you need to think about. So it seems like the Phillies have been taking it seriously, which might be why so far none of these players have tested positive.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good news that it didn't spread from the Marlins to the Phillies players. That's really good. So the Phillies coach that tested positive, is that thought to be related to the Marlins, or are they tracing that back to something else?
Yeah, I honestly have not heard if it's related to the Marlins or not. I just know that it's a coach, and you know they're going to have to go through the protocol. And I'm sure he got tested again yesterday. I don't, you know, and he's going to continue to get tested until he gets two negative tests. But you know, the fact that again that the players haven't gotten it yet is good news, because I mean, think of how many players were standing next to some of these guys on the bases, you know, all week, you know, all weekend.
Real Muto catching, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's
Real
amazing.
Muto catching, and you know, Rhys Hoskins at first base, and just Phillies players on the bases next to their players. It's pretty remarkable.
Well, Todd, appreciate it. Hopefully we can talk baseball sometime rather than
love
all this
that.
Stuff. and Todd, I'll be in Sea Isle, not next week, but the following week, and that's where I'm going to crack open your book, Doc, The Life of Roy Halladay. Can't wait
nice.
To get into it.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah. Let me know what you think.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
Arzo.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Yeah, there he is, Todd Zalecki. So, looks like the Phils will be back. As long as there's no more positive tests, they could be back on the field on Monday.
And I don't want to jinx anything, so knock on wood. But I'm impressed with the Phillies and the way they have gone about their business with this. They to me, at least to this point, appear to have taken this very serious. Seems like they have the right measures in place to keep these guys separated from each other, even with that coach testing positive, and we don't know where he may have acquired it or what have you. I'm not overly concerned because this isn't something – there should be measures in place where he isn't physically touching any of these players. He should be wearing a mask. He should be able to instruct from social distancing. So at least it appears that the Phillies are taking this serious, and I'm not as concerned about the coach or the staff testing positive. Again, I don't know which staff member this is and what role they play, but from a coaching standpoint, it appears that – the Phillies aren't being reckless, and they have guys in some sort of huddle being coached up by a guy because, again, if you are properly socially distancing and you do all the other things, even if someone were to test positive, it doesn't mean everybody else is going to test positive.
You wouldn't get 20 positive.
Yes. So what happened with the Marlins just leads me to believe, hell, they could have all gotten a damn shot in the shower together.
Well, I mean,
right? Like, I don't. It seems like
they were double
idiots.
They
were all together at some point, not taking any type of safety measures.
There was no distancing. Guys weren't wearing masks.
It couldn't have been. How do you have as many players test positive?
No, and I think it's a good point that the Phillies really have the Philly. I mean, the Phillies shouldn't get ripped for any of this stuff. The Phillies. I mean, and I'll look at Joe Girardi and some of the veteran players on the teams. They are taking this seriously. That's good.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Has a player? Since they reported, not the ones who tested positive when they initially reported and everybody had to be tested.
Since summer camp started,
has any player tested positive for the Phillies?
No.
And that's been almost, what, 3-4 weeks they've been here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's pretty good about the Phillies.
It means they're doing what they're supposed to
do.
That's what it means.
Yes, which makes me feel even more comfortable about the possibility of we're not going to get a bunch of positive tests over the weekend from the Phillies, and they would have lost 7 days of playing quite possibly without one player testing positive.
That's amazing. Totally amazing.
Unbelievable.
Back to the phones. Tom in Middletown. Tom, go ahead. How are you?
All right, John and Ike, how you doing today?
Tom?
What's up, Tom?
What's up, brother?
Yep, I'm here. Hold on. Let me take your speaker.
All right.
I'm sorry. How you guys doing?
Good.
Listen, I have an alternate plan for the NFL. And when you hear this, keep in mind, this is something that's an alternative to nothing at all. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, the NFL schedule an 18-week season. Okay. But teams only play every other week. It's a 9-game season for the teams. It limits the travel. It limits the exposure. It gives teams time. If they should test positive, they have 2-week period to make adjustments, get the right players in. This is just an alternative to nothing at all. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of this, but how does that sound?
Doesn't sound bad. You're basically turning the NFL into a college football season where you're going to play not a team. And I don't think it sounds bad. And I like the idea of the in-between weeks, and if somebody tests positive, you got enough time to incubate guys, and without having to cancel a game, you've basically already taken that out of the equation. You cancel games, right, because you're only playing half the season.
Right, but for the fans, for the NFL and the fans, it's still an 18-week season. We've got the stuff for the playoffs after it. I haven't even gotten there for yet.
Oh, I got you. You're going to stagger the games, too, so you wouldn't go a week without playing. Just certain teams would go a week without playing.
Oh, no. Every team's going to go every other week. They're going to play every other week.
Got you.
Every single team is going to play every
So the Eagles play 1 week, and then they have the following week off, and then so one set of teams plays. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Half the league is playing 1 week, and the other half is playing the next week.
That's correct.
Yes.
And then also, too, let's eliminate Thursday night games. And if they're not going to have college football, let's make it Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Not bad, Tom.
Tom, thank you.
Not bad.
Yeah, you could do you could do Saturday games depending on what happens with college football.
Well, nobody cares. I mean, the college football would be hampered if NFL is on versus college.
No, I know, but I think that I don't think that they can be on Saturday because of college football.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes. From a contract, contractual standpoint, I got you.
Right, because you're right. It would bury college football would lose a lot of their ratings.
But here's the thing with that. because you don't have necessarily a full slate of college games. Like, I know the SEC and the Pac-12 have come out and announced they're going to play a 10-game conference schedule that starts in September. Well, the Big Ten has already announced they're playing a 9-game conference schedule that starts in October. So there are weeks where there isn't any college football early in the season.
And then late.
Yeah. Here's the only thing, and I'm not privy to the information, but I would imagine chopping off 8 games or half the games would somehow impact revenue somewhere.
Oh, yes, it would.
So I don't know if the league would be in favor of playing just half the games.
No, they wouldn't. They would not. Now,
I know they would have games every week, so it's not like you're going a week without games. It'd be 18 straight weeks of games.
Well, that's a good point. Is that yes. You still get the same amount of weeks
or, on TV? Yes. Yeah.
That's interesting. Now, it's actually an antitrust thing to why the NFL can't play on Saturdays.
Okay.
So they can't. No games can be televised on
you
Friday
mean during
nights.
College football.
Yeah. So from pretty much September until December, in December, when
yes.
they start going on Saturdays, no games can be televised on Friday nights or Saturdays from the second Friday in September until the second Saturday in December.
Boom, there you go.
So you couldn't do it. All right, let's go to Dominic in Cherry Hill. What's up, Dom?
Yo, how's it going, guys?
Yo, Dom.
What's up, Dom?
Oh, not too much. I love the show, as always, and calling in is always fun, so. I just wanted to say that this with the Eagles, like, just it's a little off topic today, but I need to know what you guys think about the linebacker situation, because I'm getting worried, and you know, I have a lot of time on my hands. I'm going through our depth chart and roster that it's looking like this year, and man, the linebackers are scaring me, like really scaring me, especially with Barkley and Elliott in our division. Like, what do you think about that? Like, how are we going to get by that?
By committee, I can't sit here and tell you that any of these guys are anything special. Hell, half of them probably don't even deserve to be in the league right now, but they're in the league. So they're probably I don't see anything special, but I look at the D-line, Dominic, and I look at the way we use the secondary, particularly the safety position. I would expect they're going to do it by committee. And the reason why I'm not overly concerned is the Eagles linebackers weren't anything special last year, and they ranked number 3 in the league versus the run.
Okay, because I was just like, I mean, we're relying on Nate, Gary, and
who's better than people give credit for.
Agreed.
No, agreed. But just the sheer fact that, you know, that's who I'm relying on, though. Like, I just don't feel as comfortable with that. But, you know, at the same time, I do agree with the D-line and the corners being better. But, you know, the second thing I just wanted to make, and this is jumping over to Ben Simmons, I don't get why people are so hung up on Ben Simmons. Like, he obviously always works hard. Yes, he doesn't shoot as many times and shoot threes. But, I mean, come on. Like, he puts up great numbers, and he's the defensive player of the year.
How did he do how did he do in the last 2 years in the playoffs?
I mean, in the playoffs, he still played great defense. He still provided on the boards. I mean, he still puts up numbers.
Did he hurt him last year in the playoffs in the series?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's the former number one pick overall that thinks of himself as a generational type player, that his game hurts and the team hurts because of his offensive game. I mean, that's why we talk about him.
He's 23 years old? I mean, that's going to come down the line. He's going to learn some of this stuff and then play better in the playoffs because we'll be there. I mean, he's going to get the opportunities, John.
Okay, you're probably right, but what, we're not supposed to talk about it? Like nationally, they don't talk about Ben Simmons?
It's too negative. It's too negative about Ben Simmons.
So what's the discussion supposed to be about Ben Simmons? How great he is?
Yeah, I mean, he rebounds. We can move him from the point guard to the power forward. I mean, you get another shooter here, we are good enough to go to the final. Mm. I mean, it's not about just Ben Simmons, like, not shooting threes or not shooting enough. Like, he still scores, 20 points every now and then? And, you know, in the teens, like, and then he gets a bunch of steals, he gets rebounds. I mean, he does so much.
Is he good at defense, Dom? Is he a good defensive player, too?
Absolutely.
Yes, he's a good defensive player. Now, Dom, listen, I get it, right? Like, are we too hard on Ben Simmons? I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's on a max contract. He's a former number one overall pick, right? Like, are we patient with Ben Simmons? No, probably not. But, I don't feel like Ben Simmons has been overly scrutinized.
No?
No. I mean, don't.
Well, he has been overly scrutinized. He hasn't been unfairly scrutinized.
Okay. Well, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. He hasn't been unfairly scrutinized. Yeah, I think you're.
Yeah, there's been a high level of scrutiny with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the stars on the team. What, are we not going to talk about him?
I mean, he's the new Donovan. I mean, Ben's the new Donovan. He's completely, it's over, it's a little too much with Ben Simmons. Like, he doesn't shoot a jumper, but people act like he's not a good player because he doesn't shoot a jumper.
Yes, I do agree with that. I think the jumper thing taints the perception or the view of what he is as a player, and people feel like, he ain't scoring 25 points a game. Like, and see, this goes back to my other point, Jack. See, it's my chucker mentality, man.
This is a change of mindset.
Yes. See, but here's the thing, though. But – to the course, a change of mindset with Ben Simmons so that I don't crucify him on a daily basis. But my mindset as to what a star player is has not changed.
Right.
Those are guys who get you buckets when you need them to get you buckets.
The real question is, could he ever be the best player on a championship team?
No.
Right, and I agree with you.
No, nor can he take over a game when you need him to. Like, he's not going to go 5 or 6 minutes where he goes on a 13-0 run by himself. Did you see Anthony Davis last night?
Holy cow.
That's what a superstar player looks like. That's what a superstar player looks like.
Yeah.
Is what he's able to do. That's the difference, right? Like, that's the difference. And even he has a lot to prove. But I'm just saying, when you look at his offensive game, that's what a superstar player looks like.
Yeah.
Right? But with Ben, he is a complimentary star. Right? I keep calling him Scottie Pippen. That's not a knock. Scottie Pippen's a Hall of Famer. Scottie Pippen's a Hall of Famer. That's what I think Ben Simmons is.
And I would be fine with that.
Of course.
Yeah.
So to me, the pressure falls on Joel and Tobias as scorers, as being your leading scorers. I just don't like when Ben misses easy shots at the rim or doesn't take wide open shots. But I don't expect Ben Simmons to go out there and give me 20 a night. I just don't.
Yeah, not every night. Close to it, right? Like close.
I don't expect it. No,
well,
I don't.
I mean, what did he average this year, though?
16.
Yeah, okay.
That's not close to 20.
Not
That's
close.
15.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think it's more like I think he's an 18 point a game player with lots of rebounds and lots of assists.
Oh, he has the ability to score. I keep trying to tell you guys, he doesn't have a thirst for scoring. In other words, he doesn't feel the need to go out there and chuck up shots to get points. Mm-hmm. Like, he feels he can help the team in other ways.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, he feels there's other parts of his game that he's perfectly fine playing and scoring 8 points. Like, he's perfectly fine. He's not going to force shots. He's not going to look up at the scoreboard and be like, oh, I only got 6 points. Let me go out here and shoot the ball the next 10 times down the court.
See, like, Jason Kidd.
He's not going to do that.
Jason Kidd had years where you could tell that he wasn't necessarily, he was trying to get rebounds and assists. He wasn't, like, you look at some of his game logs, he's not scoring a lot of points.
He's not a score first point guard.
Right. But here's the other thing with Jason Kidd. He's also, 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah.
Ben Simmons just looks like he should be more dominant offensively, to where it's like, well, why are you unselfish? Right? Like when he goes to the rim, he doesn't finish strong.
He's unselfish because he's not a scorer. Yeah. That's not what he does. Like, some guys grow up shooting the ball, scoring. They've been doing it their whole life. He wanted to be He wanted – well, not most guys, because everybody's not scorers. There are different roles on basketball teams. So Ben Simmons grew up wanting to be a facilitator. That's what he grew up wanting to do, distribute the ball, run the offense, ball in his hands, pass. I'm not telling you – I'm just saying that's what he is, and that's what I don't expect the other thing. Like, I think if people are sitting around waiting on him to be somebody who's going to go out looking for buckets, you're going to always be disappointed. I just don't expect that from him.
215-592-9494. 76ers start up for real this weekend. Phillies hopefully on Monday. 215-592-9494. But what about the NFL? Should they push back the start of the regular season and consider the bubble to make sure we get a football season? Or it's too late. Power through to get to week one. Marks and Riesel, 94 WIP, back into that conversation coming up next.
Hey, sports are back, and you can find all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Now, I just talked about pro basketball being back. Man, what a game last night. I tell you, if you had that, if you had the Clippers last night, I think they were plus four last night, so they would have covered for you last night. And I love when the NBA is back because I love looking at their schedule to place bets. Now, and I got Philadelphia tomorrow night taking on Indiana. Now, Philadelphia is a 5.5-point favorite versus Indiana. I think that's a lock for Philadelphia over that Indiana team. Now, whether you've been betting on FanDuel Sportsbook for a while or you're new to the app, FanDuel has two great ways to win that you don't want to miss. First off, FanDuel is adding $10 in free bets to every account. No deposit required and no strings attached. And did that get your attention? Well, check this out. In addition to your $10 bonus, FanDuel is also giving you a day of risk-free betting. Now, that means you can place any bet you want on baseball, basketball, and hockey and get up to $100 back on your total losses. And if you've already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, then you're all set. Just use your $10 bonus and day of risk-free betting before they expire on August 2nd. And if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, then what are you waiting for? Just type in FanDuel.com/Ike to get started so they know that I sent you. Again, that's FanDuel.com/Ike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.